Welcome to Public Health Out Loud, Public Health for the Public. Hi, I'm Dr. Jim McDonald, Interim Director of the Rhode Island Department of Health.
And I'm Dr. Phil Chan. Welcome, everyone.
Dr. Chan, this is like one of my favorite half hours of the week, and it's kind of interesting. We don't normally talk about what day we're recording an episode, but we recorded this on Wednesday, March 9th, and it is snowing in Rhode Island. And I'm not sure why that was important to me to get that out there, but I just thought it'd be important to say it actually looks pretty today. I'm looking out my window and thinking, like, you know, what a wonderful day to record a podcast about COVID. And one of the things that excites me about today is we're talking about COVID cause, with, from. We're going to figure it out. Are people dying from COVID, dying with COVID, getting hospitalized from COVID? We're going to talk about that today with some of our own Rhode Island Department of Health experts. So I'm pleased today to have our own Leanne Lasher. We have Dr. Katie Donovan on loan for us from the CDC. We love having Dr. Donovan here. We have Mark Freeman with us here from Rhode Island Department of Health. And we have Shivani Arora here from the Rhode Island Department of Health as well here, which is great to have some of our colleagues here with us. And they're part of our health data and analytics team. So let me just ask our colleagues, if you don't mind, let's just start with Leanne, then go to Dr. Donovan, Dr. Freeman, and Shivani. Can you just introduce yourselves real quick?
Sure. I'm Leanne Lasher. I'm the Chief Data Officer for the COVID response. So my role is coordinating across the different aspects of the data team.
And I'm Katie Donovan. I'm an infectious disease epidemiologist and a career epidemiology field officer with the CDC. I'm assigned to the Rhode Island Department of Health. And I just started working with Rhode Island quite recently, about 3 months ago.
This is Mark Freeman. I'm lead data scientist. We're part of an IBM team that is in support of Rhode Island Department of Health, helping Rhode Island respond to the COVID pandemic.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Shivani Arora. I work as surveillance analytics subteam lead for the COVID-19 quant unit at Vital. I primarily work with COVID-19 case, hospitalization, breakthrough, and variant data. And I'm happy to be here to share my knowledge with the listeners.
And thank you all four for joining us. I think to our listeners out there, these folks, among others, are really some of those behind-the-scenes people that make the Department of Health work. And these folks specifically are the ones responsible for all those data graphics that we see on our web pages. And data requests all flow through this team. So thank you all for the data. And data has been so important to all of us, and especially if we make decisions and decide what, you know, as Dr. McDonald put it, what to do, where to go, you know, ramping up resources, whatnot. We want those decisions to be based on data and accurate data. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. So Leanne, starting with you first. And again, Leanne, you've been here since the beginning, have been one of the leads on the data team. Talk to us behind the scenes as the pandemic has progressed and giving your perspective over the last couple of years. Talk to us about what data has looked like during the pandemic in general. What have we collected, what it's looked like, and the time that it's taking to curate and analyze all the different data? What's it been like?
Sure. Thanks, Dr. Chan. In the early days of the pandemic, we started with our core data systems looking at COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. We pretty quickly established a system for monitoring the number of COVID tests being done, because the amount of testing has an impact on the number of cases that we're identifying. And then as the pandemic evolved, we incorporated other data systems. So working with the State Health Laboratory on monitoring variant sequencing, we incorporated vaccination data when vaccines became available, and similarly for treatments. So in order to have a complete picture of what's going on with COVID, we have a number of data systems to track that. And it's really important to have data to inform decision-making. So our specific focus changes all the time. Some of the core things that we look at are who and where are at highest risk for COVID, and identifying if there's any gaps and who we're able to reach for testing and vaccines, looking at things like patterns by age groups, race, ethnicity, is there an increase in a particular city? Looking at long-term care facilities and schools, so really trying to identify what are the populations or areas that are at highest risk, and using data to inform the decisions and inform how we're responding to the pandemic. And so we have a lot of data on our website. It's the COVID-19 Data Hub. So check us out online with all the data that we have available. And I'm so grateful that we have such a fantastic team of folks working with us on the data team. And I'm excited that you'll be able to hear from them.
All right, let me just take our next question over there to Katie Donovan. So, Katie, you know, one of the things you read about on the media, you know, especially online and really in the news media in particular, is do people die from COVID or die with COVID? Kind of implying, is the death caused by COVID or was it an incidental death? And I think that's important to address that. You know, having said that, what does it mean and why does that matter? So, Katie, why don't you just approach that a little bit?
Sure. Thanks, Dr. McDonald. So I think it's really important to define these terms when we start talking about them. So what is it? What does a death from COVID mean versus a death with COVID? And so when we talk about a death from COVID-19, that would mean a person dies and we consider COVID-19 to be a cause of their death. But then we also talk about a death with COVID-19, and that would be a person dies who has recently tested positive for COVID-19, but we don't necessarily believe that COVID-19 contributed to causing their death. And unfortunately, it can be difficult to distinguish between the two. So individuals, as we all know, who are at highest risk of dying from COVID-19 include the elderly and people with underlying conditions or comorbidities. So when somebody dies from or with COVID-19, they often have a lot of other health problems. They might have multiple comorbidities such as kidney disease or lung disease, or their immune system might be suppressed, which could lead them to be susceptible to multiple different infections, not just COVID-19. And then when they die, they have a number of different conditions that could have contributed to their death. And it can be difficult to determine which conditions actually cause their death. And I think you also mentioned, you know, why does this matter? Well, on the COVID-19 data and analytics team, we regularly report the number of people in Rhode Island who have died from COVID-19. It's one of the metrics that we use for surveillance to inform our pandemic response and to determine where we are in the pandemic. So it helps to inform the question, how bad is COVID-19 for Rhode Islanders right now? And we might say, well, in the past week, you know, this many Rhode Islanders have died from COVID-19. But as we're reporting that, it's really important to obviously distinguish those deaths from COVID-19 and the people who simply died with COVID-19. And that's actually something that we recently investigated.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Donovan. Talk to us a little bit about how you classify someone's death and what the results have showed here for Rhode Island. And your perspective, any national perspective you have in your role from the CDC would be helpful too.
Here in Rhode Island, we use the World Health Organization definition to classify deaths from COVID-19. And basically, this definition specifies that if we're going to consider a death to be from COVID-19, the person should have had a positive test for COVID-19, and they should die from a clinically compatible illness, which basically just means their symptoms should be consistent with COVID-19. And so here in Rhode Island, to look at this question of how we're reporting deaths from or with COVID-19, we went back and looked at all the COVID-19 deaths we had reported in Rhode Island from the beginning of the pandemic through October 2021. And basically, we compared that list of COVID-19 Rhode Island deaths to a later list that we get from CDC, where CDC has certified the cause of death. And it's important to note that that list from CDC, we might not get that for 3 months after the death occurs. So we can't use it for our regular surveillance purposes, but we can use it for this comparison purpose, which is what we did. And what we found was that in our analysis, that the Rhode Island COVID-19 deaths that we reported through October 2021, 94% of those were deaths from COVID-19. So those were deaths where COVID-19 was considered a cause of death. And so we think that's a pretty good result, but obviously this is something we're going to continue to monitor. And I know you mentioned trying to inform a national perspective. I haven't actually worked on this issue with CDC, but I do know that this is something that I think a lot of states are dealing with and trying to investigate, and different states are handling it differently. Some just do a smaller proportion. They review a smaller proportion of their deaths and look at that smaller proportion. They might do, you know, more in-depth investigation on that smaller number. Here in Rhode Island, we did a full audit looking at all the deaths we had reported over that time period from March 2020 through October 2021.
Yeah. So, Katie, what was the actual percentage of deaths that were from COVID during that time period? Let's just talk about that number a little bit.
That was 94%.
Yeah. So, and that means 94% of the folks who died were actually from COVID, not with COVID. And it was kind of interesting about that number to me is it really speaks to COVID was not incidental. It wasn't like someone died and they just happened to have COVID. That's actually not that common. What was really more common is they died from COVID, which kind of makes sense to me. Because when I think about someone dying with a positive test, that really is just an indicator of what community prevalence would look like. In other words, just how many cases are out there. And these aren't people, you know, who are generally dying or just dying from other reasons. But 94% is a pretty big number, and certainly something I think all of us can relate to. But I think it's a new number for us, something that was interesting data. And one of the things I saw was your methodology was pretty impressive. In other words, you guys looked at, you know, multiple sources of data to corroborate your results. You didn't look at just one thing. You looked at, you know, vital records, death certificates, you know, really to me was a very robust analysis here. I want to pivot our conversation, if you don't mind, to Mark Freeman, though, and talk a little bit about people being hospitalized, because that's something that comes up quite a bit as well. So, Mark, as we talk a bit about people being hospitalized from COVID, with COVID, you know, how do you handle that in the data? Do you do it differently, or what's your approach with that as we look at the data analytics about how do we determine if people are hospitalized from or with COVID? Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yes, Dr. McDonald. At the beginning of the pandemic, our focus was really in the hospitals about identifying COVID-positive patients so that the hospitals could effectively isolate those patients and make sure that they didn't infect other patients. And so very often the numbers that we've been reporting are people who were in the hospital who tested positive for COVID. And so some of those people we know are actually not sick with COVID illness, but they do test positive and still need to be isolated at the hospital. More recently now, we've been focusing in on trying to determine of those hospitalized who is actually sick with COVID. So very similar to the kind of analysis that Katie described, we want to understand people who are in the hospital because they're sick with COVID versus those who are in the hospital for some other reason and just happen to test positive for COVID. And so we started actually working with Dr. Chan and his colleagues at Rhode Island Hospital at the beginning of this year, doing some chart reviews and building up some data that would enable us to distinguish the for versus with hospitalization question. And then that has moved into actually beginning to collect new data from our partners in the hospital system. That data is now showing us that a little over 50% of hospitalizations are for people who are sick with COVID illness. And the others are people that need to be isolated in the hospital. So they do have a positive COVID test, but they are not at the hospital because they're sick with COVID.
Yeah, thank you for that. And just to even back up half step, I think just to remind folks why this is important is that the CDC just released, right, community risk levels of COVID, low, medium, and high. And part of that is looking at hospital capacity. And I think for those of you, of course, that have followed the story in Rhode Island, really nationally, you know that hospital capacity has been a huge issue during the pandemic, including here in Rhode Island. I mean, we've had to call in the National Guard, we received federal help. So hospital capacity is a big issue. And when hospitals get to capacity or beyond, people start dying, right? Not just from COVID, but from other things where they can't get the appropriate level of care that they really need. So understanding and drilling down on the impact of COVID-19 hospitals is critical in having that accurate data. And those are some of the implications for public health practice. Anything you want to add to that about where we're going with this or other implications here?
Yeah, so it's important to be able to distinguish the for versus with question in hospitals. It has an implication on a lot of the things we look at, not just being able to look at the risk to our hospital system being overburdened, but also when we think about trying to analyze something like vaccine effectiveness, being able to determine how effective are the vaccines at preventing hospitalization. And we'd really like to understand that for the people who get sick with COVID and have to be hospitalized. And so we're getting this new information. Based on this new information, we've been developing some advanced analytic methods that help us identify the for versus with question for patients where it's more difficult to determine whether they're at the hospital because they're sick with COVID or for some other reason. And we're applying this analysis in ways that will help improve the kind of information that we can offer to inform pandemic response.
You know, one of the points you brought up, Mark, as well, was this notion that, you know, say 55% are admitted from COVID and the other 45% are with COVID, but there's still isolation that needs to occur. So it creates a stress on the hospital because obviously you've got to isolate people in the hospital and it's about putting people in rooms and where people go. And it really does raise a lot of questions. But I love that you talked a little bit about where we're going with vaccine and vaccine effectiveness. And that's a nice transition into how conversation we actually have with Shivani. So let's bring Shivani into our conversation now. So Shivani, what do we know about the connection between vaccination status and the likelihood of hospitalization based on data we have here in Rhode Island?
Thank you, Dr. McDonald. First of all, I would like to clarify some of the terminology that I'll be using. Those who have received one dose of Johnson & Johnson or two doses of Pfizer or Moderna, we refer to them as having completed primary vaccine series. And I also want to make a note that currently we are counting any dose beyond primary vaccine series as booster dose, which includes additional doses. Now, coming back to your question, I recently conducted an analysis utilizing the hospitalization data by vaccination status from August through December last year. Based on the findings of the data, we found that, number one, people who did not complete their primary vaccine series were 55 times more likely to get hospitalized compared to those who completed their primary vaccine series followed by a booster.
Can you just repeat that a little bit? You said, so if I understand you correctly, someone who did not complete their vaccine series was 55 times more likely to get hospitalized compared to someone who completed their primary series and then got the booster. Is that what I just heard you say?
Yeah. So the first group, which is those who did not complete their primary vaccine series, this group includes both partially vaccinated and unvaccinated. This group is 55 times more likely to get hospitalized as compared to those who have received their booster shot after the primary vaccine series.
It's an impressive number to be sure. And I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're doing great. But keep going, please. Thank you so much for making me just hear that number and hear how big it was. Because 55 times more likely, that's a big difference there. You don't usually see that in anything in public health. So that's impressive. But please go ahead, Shivani.
Yeah, thank you so much. So the next group that we looked at was people who did not complete their primary vaccine series were 6 times more likely to get hospitalized compared to those who completed their primary vaccine series but did not receive a booster shot. And focusing on the group that completed the primary vaccine series, those who did not receive a booster were 9 times more likely to get hospitalized compared to the boosted group. Now, all of these findings support the evidence that booster shots are very effective in preventing the severity of the disease.
Yeah, thank you, Shivani, for that. Super appreciated. And the other thing I'll add to all that, of course, is we've gotten a number of questions here at the Department of Health about vaccine effectiveness against Omicron, right? And there's the thought, of course, the vaccines are less effective against Omicron. And the data is emerging. And even this last couple of weeks here, there's been a lot of data coming out about Omicron, about how effective the vaccines are against preventing hospitalization and severe illness. And we do know that immunity due to vaccines does wane over time. And you really need that third dose in terms of the mRNA vaccines to protect you against Omicron. But Shivani, this is fantastic data. And I emphasize the point that Dr. McDonald made. People who did not get vaccinated were 55 times more likely to be hospitalized. But Dr. McDonald, I actually have a question for you here. I mean, we were talking this morning and, you know, Rhode Island is one of the top states, like top 1-2 states in terms of being vaccinated overall. But in terms of boosters, 39% of Rhode Islanders have been boosted. What would you say to Rhode Islanders maybe who haven't gotten their boosters yet or a little bit on the fence about it? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think this is why the data is so important, because I think most people want to make their decisions based on science and data. And, you know, one of the things that's good about having a sound analytics team we have here is it's our data. It's been vetted. We know what it says here. But I think this is persuasive, because really when you think about why we wanted to get everybody vaccinated, we wanted to, one, keep you alive, and two, we want to keep you out of the hospital, and three, oh, by the way, we'd prefer you not be sick and miss life, because life is important, right? But I think this really is persuasive data that if you're 55 times, you know, less likely to end up in the hospital, That's just impressive to me. And I think it's one of those things where that number is an impressive number. And I think, you know, one of the things about today's episode is we've thrown around a lot of numbers, and maybe it's good to summarize numbers, but there's an overall story here, which is the overall story is, yes, COVID is a preventable, treatable disease, but it's a pretty serious disease too. In other words, if 94% of our deaths were from COVID and 6% were incidental, that's impressive because, you know, it's like clearly you've heard different, you know, sort of noise in the media. And I think that's one of those things that just, it's very persuasive the way our data was done so robustly in Rhode Island. And when I think about the hospitalizations, you know, 55% from COVID, again, you know, more impressive to me as well. And then I've been thinking about the last point Shivani made that, you know, you see, it's just important to get that booster vaccine. And I think this is one of those things where I think a lot of people are just doing life and kind of feel like the pandemic's over. And as it's approaching the endemic state, it isn't over yet. And it just reminds me that people really need to make sure they get up to date and get that booster vaccine. You know, as we kind of just bring our episode to a little bit of a close a little bit, there's been a lot of really good points I raised here. But, you know, one of our traditions at Public Health Out Loud, and this is when Stephanie should cue the music, is to go to the final word with Dr. Chan. So, Dr. Chan, what is the final word for today's episode?
Thank you, Dr. McDonald. And I do want to thank our data analytics team. I cannot emphasize enough how key they've been in guiding all of us from the governor's office, Department of Health, all the departments really across the state. So thank you. Heartfelt thank you to all of you. So in closing here, I do want to leave everyone with a moment of zen to consider throughout the rest of your day. And here it is, a quote on data. Without big data, you are blind and deaf and in the middle of a freeway. And I will say it has felt like that from time to time during the pandemic, but thankfully we've had data and evidence to guide us. Thank you all and be well.
I want to thank Stephanie Menders, our executive producer, Carol Stone, our technical director. I'm Dr. Jim McDonald. Have a good and keep up the great.